Good morning and welcome to another edition of Quest Community Vibrations, live on 89.5 from the campus of Seton Hall in South Hall. We are Quest Youth Radio, which is the best youth radio. Now, I want to begin by saying music, like poetry, has a message, and history, like a diary, shines clear to the truth. You see, words have meanings that we can comprehend, like definitions, and news can create a chain of events that we may not always understand. Now, pull back the curtain and see a different perspective of our contribution, and you will find our Quest moment, where we attempt to make waves, indeed vibration. So once again, thank you for joining us to hear information concerning our diaspora. Again, I'd just like to begin by saying today's program will highlight Frederick Douglass and Benjamin Banneker. For our diamond segment and for our definition segment, we will examine how economics and social justice has impacted our community. Chains of events will continue, and we will have a continued view on mental health as a health issue. For our mental slavery point of view, from a mental slavery point of view, and provide an antidote. And finally, we'll have music, and you know, the music for our curtain segment will basically be, well, the point is, music is an integral part of our community and our people. And so that will be our curtain featuring today, Mos Def. AKA better known as Yasin Bey, right? And so we thank you once again for joining us. And this morning we'll be having, as every morning, the entire team joining us. And we will begin with Christopher Lynch, our newest addition to our radio team, Walter Pierce, and of course myself, Dr. Richard Bombay. And we will have Mr. Shelton Harris, featuring our curtain segment, who I like to refer to as our music director. So without any further ado, the music is back to you.
Wake up everybody.
okay. And so by this point, you should have gotten the message. It's time for you to wake up. And now it's time for our first student host, Mr. Christopher Lynch. Chris, good morning.
Wake up, everybody. No more sleeping in bed. Open your minds and receive this knowledge today. So today's diamond. History is like a diamond. Each prism represents the work of a group of people at a particular period of time. Look into the diamond and see the reflection of your past self, the pain of your mother, the choice of your father, and the blood of your ancestors. Look deeply and you are bound to find yourself. So today's diamond, like Mr. Richard Bombay briefed everybody on, is on Benjamin Banneker. Most people know about Benjamin Banneker already for his great mathematician skills and the fact that he's an almanac writer. He wrote a few almanacs at that, and his irrigation skills, plus many other things. So Benjamin Banneker was an astronomical piece to history. He calculated predictions using his mathematician skills as an astronomer. And Benjamin Banneker was also born November 9th, 1731. He was largely self-taught he was self-taught and the first African-American to gain distinction in science because of his significant accomplishments to include successful predictions of a solar eclipse. Also, Benjamin Banneker had successfully created the first wooden clock. So in addition to him creating a wooden clock, I mentioned earlier that he wrote an almanac. He wrote a few almanacs for Pennsylvania, Delaware, Maryland, and Virginia. But also in addition to that, I want to get into his background history of his grandmother, Molly Banneker, his great-grandmother. So Molly Banneker, Benjamin's first teacher. She taught him to read and write using the Bible that she had imported from England. And Benjamin's mind was sharp, and he soon learned all that Molly had to teach him. So she sent him to a one-room integrated school near her farm. It was open during the winter months when children didn't have to work on their parents' farms. And that's where he received 8 years of school from a teacher. That was the first of his formal education, Benjamin Banneker's. In 1690, after working for several years on a tobacco plantation in Maryland, Molly earned her freedom and bought 120-acre farm 10 miles from Baltimore. And in 1692, she bought two slaves from a ship in the Chesapeake Bay. One of the slaves' name was Banneker, the son of an African chieftain. Banneker's intelligence and dignity deeply impressed Mary Welsh, Molly. But also with Molly, as she was working in indentured servitude, she was working as a dairy servant, and she would milk cows every morning to bring to a slave that would bring the milk to the kitchen cook. And one morning, the cow knocked over the pail of milk, and Molly was accused of being a thief and ultimately was banned from the country. She was banned from the country, but initially she was sentenced to death. But because she was banned, the result was that she got banned. And using her irrigation skills and the ability that she knew how to read, she made a life for herself and was able to buy that 120-acre farm later on in her life. And generations down, she gave birth to Benjamin Banneker. And they hold that title, they hold that land currently still in Baltimore, Maryland. The family's generations down the line did a lot of work to maintain and upkeep that. So they have history there in Baltimore, Maryland. And that is my diamond on Benjamin Banneker today. I hope you all enjoyed and learned something about Benjamin Banneker and his family's history. Mm-hmm.
now it's time for our next student host with another segment of Diamonds, Walter Pierce.
Yes,
Walter,
good
morning.
Good morning, everybody. Yep, and welcome to another edition of Quest Community Vibrations. We're live on 89.5, and it's time to read the intros for Diamonds. And see, history is like a diamond. Each prism represents the work of a group of people at a particular period of time. Look into the diamond and see the reflections of your past self, the pain of your mother, the choice of your father, and the blood of your ancestors. Look deeply, and you are bound to find yourself. Now, while I get the article set up, Mr. Bear, you mind just giving a brief overview of how, you know, Frederick Douglass has impacted the African-American community in history while I get everything set up?
Oh, not a problem. Hey, you know, I want to thank you for giving me this moment to shine. I would like to present a quote from Frederick Douglass that he actually made. It's titled, "What to the American Slave is Your 4th of July?" Now, I do realize why we're not celebrating this particular holiday right now, presently. I would like to just give an excerpt. In this particular speech, before I begin to read, I would like to say that after he had given the speech, he was heckled by the crowd, who said to Frederick Douglass, how dare you give such a speech defaming our national holiday of independence. And at that point, he took off his jacket and his shirt and turned his back to the audience, where they were able to see the welts on his back, revealing to the audience, who somehow seemed to be not uncognizant of the fact that he was a slave. And so, without any further ado, in the words of Frederick Douglass, he says, "What to the American slave is the 4th of July? I answer, a day that reveals to him more than all other days in the world, in the year, the gross injustice and cruelty to which he is to constant victim. To him, your celebration is a sham. You boasted liberty and unholy license, your national greatness and swelling vanity, your sounds of rejoicing and empty heartless, your denunciation of tyrants, brass-fronted imprudence, your shouts of liberty and equality, hollow mockery, your prayers and hymns, your sermons and thanksgiving, all your religious parade and psalmody are to him mere bombast, fraud, deception, and impurity, and utterly hypocrisy, a thin vein or veil to cover up crimes which would disgrace a nation of savages. This is not a nation on the earth guilty of practices. There is not another nation on this earth that is guilty of the practices more shocking and bloody than are the people of the United States at this very hour." And that, ladies and gentlemen, in the Quest audience, is a speech that Frederick Douglass actually made and gave on the 4th of July. Now, I would like to bring in at this time, as we almost reach the half hour, and then we'll come back to our student host, but I want to get Tanisha Gardner in and tell me what is your reaction to that particular speech by Frederick Douglass? If I didn't butcher it too bad.
No, that was very powerful. It hit straight to the gut because it made you see the reality of what America really is. And it's funny how they forget, but when we don't forget, that's what we have to remember, for us not to forget what happened in the past and what happened in those moments for us to move on. No one has the right to take away your dignity or your pride or your respect and you have to hold them accountable. So that's what I took from it, because he really let them see it for what it was and what it is. As they say, you call a spade, you show it for what it is.
Okay. Let's get Mr. Harris in. Mr. Harris, I know you weren't prepared to jump in, but what would be your interpretation of this particular speech on the 4th of July?
Just like Casey was saying, he was really speaking to what was happening during his time. But if you look around to the type of stuff that's going on today, not much has really changed in this country. You know, it's still the same thing, and we're still talking about it. And this was over 100 years ago when he was saying it, and we're doing the same thing again. So, you know, we have to really kind of understand that time doesn't change. You know, we have to change.
Right. And when you fail to learn from history, you are destined to repeat it. Walter Pierce.
Absolutely.
Good morning again.
Yes, good morning, and thank you for that. Thank you for that that piece you had on Frederick Douglass. That was very important to include. But now to continue with Frederick Douglass, I actually have an article about a guy by the name of Stephen Cole of Ironwood, Michigan, who has spent more than 30 years portraying Frederick Douglass. Frederick Douglass was one of the most prominent civil rights figures in history. During Black History Month, Cole, a Freeport native, is busy doing his portrayals online all over the country. Cole is a third-generation great-grandson of an escaped slave and a fifth great-grandson of an African-American Revolutionary War veteran, a historian, and a retiring Union tradesman. He said growing up in Freeport, he was always aware of the history of famous Lincoln-Douglas debates. When he learned it was Frederick Douglass who also made two famous speeches in Stephenson County, Cole began his research into a man that had a pivotal role in American history. Frederick Douglass made a speech in 1854, which has often been overshadowed by the Lincoln-Stephen A. Douglass debates. There are many Lincoln-Douglass reenactors, but few Frederick Douglass portrayals. Frederick Douglass was witness to one of Stephen A. Douglass' speeches years later. He came to Freeport after appearing at many other places in the country and in Great Britain. Frederick Douglass worked with white abolitionists and black abolitionists. Douglass, who escaped slavery in Maryland, taught himself how to read and write. He spent his life advocating for social justice and equal rights. Douglass believed in the Constitution as it was written. The first time Douglass came to Freeport was appearing at what was Union School in 1853, and it was later he was invited by John Adams, the father of Jane Adams, Oscar Taylor Jr., and Dexter Knowlton to come back to Freeport. Knowlton hosted Douglass in his home on the same day Stephen A. Douglass spoke in Freeport. Cole said as a historian of Douglass, he continues to investigate the true and accurate and intersperse the facts into the portrayal of Douglass. He says, I have learned to use his words to respond in character through his philosophy. The most important fact is black people have different viewpoints, and Douglass did not want to just be known as a black man, but as a man. He also says Douglass stood up with courage and was often denounced for standing for the principles of the Constitution. He often stood alone and through a lawyer became a freedman and printed his own newspaper. He believed any injustice was wrong, and we as a country continue to build up false walls of race. I am a man like Douglass who stands up for what I believe in as long as it is true and accurate. Because of COVID-19, Douglass does most of his portrayals online through Facebook and Zoom for the month of February, and he is posting videos on his Facebook page, which is Stephen A. Cole. Those videos, you know, again, give an interpretation of Frederick Douglass. So I thank the audience for listening. And in conclusion, Somebody like Stephen A. Cole was able to bring awareness to somebody like Frederick Douglass, so a lot of more people could understand and learn the history of prominent African Americans. You know, it's very important for somebody like him to do. And I encourage other people to continue to research about our elders and our people who came before us that left a mark in America to move on and to keep pushing the struggle that we continue fighting every single day. So that's my message. And again, thank you for listening. You're listening to 89.5 WSOU, and this is student host Walter Pierce.
Well, great job, Walter. But, you know, I'm not going to just let you off the hook just that easy. I have a couple of quotes, okay, that I want you to interpret on top of your feet, on your feet, thinking. Are you ready?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so the first quote is as follows. It's a quote by Frederick Douglass. Where justice is denied, where poverty is enforced, where ignorance prevails, and where any one class is made to feel that society is an organized conspiracy to oppress, rob, and degrade them, neither person nor property will be safe. Your interpretation.
You know, what I kind of got from that is society as a whole and people continue to try to divide us. And I understand, like, a lot of people are actually starting to take notice of that actually today. You know, people who have a lot of power are separating each of the different ethnicities and races and trying to put us against each other. In reality, we should actually be helping each other out. So that's really what I got from it. You know, people with a lot of power continue to try to separate us, but in reality, we're all the human race, we're one race, and we should unite with each other if you want to continue to progress as a person and as a human being.
Okay, one more. You ready?
Yes.
Without a struggle, there can be no progress.
That's true. You know, without failure, you can't progress. You can't learn from your mistakes. You can't learn. You won't really learn everything if you technically do everything right. You will have to end up making mistakes, so you won't end up making that same mistake again, and you know what to do right the next time. And if we never had a struggle, there would be no purpose of, you know, continuing to fight and spread awareness about people in this world that are struggling with oppression. And it's not just, you know, African American people all over the world. There's people being oppressed, and if there was, and that's the struggle, and that's something that we're progressing. But if there was never a struggle with that, be no need to progress for that situation. So that's what I got from that.
Okay, great job. We continue musically, and this is Quest Community Vibration.
Da, 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 da. Let freedom ring.
Oh, da, 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 da. Lift every voice and sing till earth and heaven ring. Ring with the harmony, have liberty.
Let our rejoicing arise high.
And now it's time for our next segment of definition. Presented by Chris, Christopher Lynch.
Hey, good morning, family. I'm going to pull up a definition for you to learn and to get acquainted with. So, definitions. This segment provides the listeners with words and their meanings so that we can achieve together a common basis to say we care and we believe in ourselves. Remember, whosoever controls our definitions controls us. We must define existence and not have it defined for us. Today's definition is social justice. Social justice is the fight for equality across all platforms. Social justice deals with the equality of women's rights, equality of pay, treatment, and occupational opportunities. Social justice has been a long-going battle for years, for generations, and we're making progress as we currently speak. We have a bunch of civil activists that are fighting for our rights on all platforms, including our most recent LGBTQ community, for their equality in society. So as we continue to highlight the issues that prevent us from being who we are and how we are and progressing towards a greater America, we will continue to uplift each other and raise these issues individually so that we cannot be blind to the facts. Because if we keep a wool over our eyes, things will continue to go in the favor of the person who is committing the social injustice towards us for their benefit. So let's collectively help each other and move towards a socially equal society. Social justice.
Oh,
Okay, and so now it's time for our next segment of definitions, presented by Walter Pierce.
Yes, and welcome back, everybody, to 89.5 WSOU. Quest Youth Radio is the best youth radio. And like you said, it's time for definitions. And this segment provides the listener with words and their meaning so that we can achieve together a common basis to say we care and we believe in ourselves. Remember, whosoever controls our definitions controls us. We must define existence and not have it defined for us. And the definition for today is economy. And economy is the wealth and resources of a country or region, especially in terms of the production and consumption of goods and services. And the reason we're using economy for today's definition and how it relates is because of how African Americans have been held back economically and financially in history. And when we go back to emancipation of slavery, of how Black people in America were promised 40 acres and a mule, you know, we never got that. But there was an act signed by Abraham Lincoln called the Homestead Act, which granted for very, very little, 246 million acres of land to families, all white families in America. And usually each family would receive about 160 acres of land. And it was a very short process. It was a very short process, and it went for very, very little. And, you know, about going up until like 1934, about 1.5 million white families owned that land. But when we go to the African American community, it was only about 4,000 of it. And the land we was given wasn't even in good shape and condition. It was land that, you know, was damaged, destroyed by wars and things like that. And it just wasn't good enough to do anything with. And top that off, we didn't have good experience dealing with government officials and owning. You know, we knew how to work it, but dealing with government financials, all that, we were coming out of slavery. We didn't understand those type of things. So, you know, you're giving us that land, obviously it was not going to be successful. You know, that's what it ended up being. And the reason I'm getting at this is because people complain, and, you know, when they see a lot of Black families and wonder why we're so impoverished, you know, some people might say, oh, just get a job and, you know, you'll get money. But the reason being is because white families in America already had a huge head start from us, given land, be able to produce a lot of meals, sell, make a lot of money on theirs. All they have to do is just pass down, keep passing that wealth down, pass down land generation to generation, and that allowed for a lot of wealth to be in a lot of white families and a lot of Black families who didn't really own anything. You know, we was working for them, making them the big bucks on their land. So that's really what I wanted to get at, and people understand why it's like that today, and that is just the facts. So when people just try to call out us, you know, for not working as hard as being lazy, that is very, very untrue and very ignorant. And again, just, you know, do more research onto it, and you'll start to understand the pieces of why things happen today and why history is still relevant for today. And people who continue to try to denounce the same as in the past, it's still a lot of history back then still relates to today and why things are like that today. So again, thank you for listening to my definition, which is economy. You're listening to 89.5 WSOU, and this is student host Walter Pierce.
Thank you so much, Walter. But before we go to the music, I'd just like to say this show has passed the halfway point, and I'm about to bring Tanisha Gardner in. But before I do, I'd like to say the definition of social justice, let's apply it to and just say social injustice in America as it affected our economics. you consider the major contributions of African Americans throughout the history of this country, the inventions such as the surveyor and the inventor of the almanac, just to mention one person, just one person. And, you know, at this point, I would ask Tanisha to come in and give a brief review of what you've heard with a comment or a question. Take it away.
Like you said, you don't let anyone define your definition because we know who we are. And history has its facts because it's already written, like I said, from my ancestors from Africa and definitely in Egypt, what we have laid from the foundation, from the pyramids. And when you go to Europe and how they were taught by the Moors. So we always have culture. We always had history and we always were builders. Like you say, even in America, how they seen how we built America, how Benjamin Banneker helped with Washington D.C. in an alignment of how all the different structures are set forth, and it was done strategically and mathematically. So, like you said, we have to always remember our past and know where we're going in the future and know who we are, and just remember how we had Black Wall Street and how powerful we were, and they bombed us. So they know who we are, they know of our strength, but we have to remember and protect our legacy and keep pushing forward.
Thank you. now it's time for our next segment of Chains of Events. You see, it's an interpretation of the news as it affects the community from the Alloys of Newark. It's a report on events in politics, education, law, business, religion, and science. You see, Chains of Events reveals interpretation of one event to another so that you, the Quest listener, will know what's happening. Good morning once again. As I introduce this particular segment on mental slavery, I tell you about a fable of the eagle and the chicken. A fable is told about an eagle that thought he was a chicken. And when the eagle was very small, he fell from the safety of his nest. A chicken farmer found the eagle, brought him to his farm, and raised him as a chicken and put him in the coop amongst the other chickens. The eagle grew up doing what chickens do, living like a chicken and believing he was a chicken. The naturalist came one day to the chicken farm to see if what he had heard about the eagle acting like a chicken was really true. And he knew that an eagle is the king of the sky. He was surprised to see the eagle stuttering around and acting in the chicken coop and acting like a chicken and pecking on the ground, right? Just as much as a chicken. The farmer explained to the naturalist that this bird was no longer an eagle. He was now a chicken because he had been trained to be a chicken, and he believed that he was a chicken. The naturalist knew that this was more to this great bird and to his actions showed as he pretended to be a chicken. He was born an eagle and had the heart of an eagle, and nothing could change that. The man lifted the eagle onto the fence surrounding the chicken coop and said, "Eagle, thou art an eagle. Stretch forth your wings and fly." The eagle moved slightly, only to look at the man. Then he glanced down at his home among the chickens in the chicken coop where he was comfortable. He jumped off the fence and continued doing what chickens do. The farmer, satisfied, told the person, he said, "I told you it was chicken." And the naturalist returned the next day and tried again to convince the farmer and the eagle that the eagle was born for something greater. He took the eagle to the top of a farmhouse and spoke, "Thou art an eagle. Thou belong in the sky and not to the earth. Stretch forth thy wings and fly." The large bird looked at the man, then again down at the chicken coop. He jumped from the man's arm onto the roof of the farmhouse. Knowing what eagles are really about, the naturalist asked the farmer to let him try one more time. He would return the next day and prove that the bird was an eagle. The farmer, convinced otherwise, said, "Well, why not? Because he's a chicken." The naturalist returned the next morning to the chicken farm and took the eagle and the farmer some distance away this time to the foot of a high mountain, and they could not see the farm or the chicken coop. And from this new setting, the man held the eagle on his arm and pointed high in the sky where the bright sun was. "Art an eagle, thou dost time." The eagle stared skyward into the bright sun, straightened his large body, and stretched his massive wings. His wings moved slowly at first, and then surely and powerfully. With the mighty stretch of an eagle, he then flew. And with that being said, there's a moral to that story, but we will continue that later. I want to get Mr. Harris in for our last segment of Curtain, because we're running out of time.
Yeah, good morning, good morning. Curtains, as we see it, is an exposure and analysis of artists and their work from behind the curtain and the stage. Now, many artists and companies have grown rich from the support of our community, but what benefits has the community gained from these artists? Today we pull the curtain on another one of my favorite rappers turned actor, or is that the other way around? His name is Yasin Bey, also known as Mos Def, And he was born Dante Terrell Smith in December 1973 in Brooklyn, New York. The oldest of 12 kids, he was raised by his mother, who he calls Umi, in Brooklyn's Roosevelt Housing Projects. Growing up, he made the most of his surroundings, like most of us do. But at the age of 6, he had already started rapping and acting. His music career was really begun by forming a group called the Urban Thermodynamics with his younger siblings. The group had 2 singles, but he went out on a solo career after that. And though he had earned sporadic film and television roles, he began turning his attention towards music more, which had also been a childhood passion. He began writing rhymes in grade school, and at first it was a desperate act of survival. In his 20s, he changed his name to Mos Def, which was short for his favorite saying, Most Definitely, which was his typical response when his friends asked him if he wanted to hang out. In 1995, he met members of De La Soul and was invited to join the Native Tongues Posse. At that time, Mos Def was working at a Brooklyn bookstore called Nkiru Books alongside another up-and-coming rapper named Talib Kweli. They later became co-owners of the bookstore. The pair also worked together creating rhymes, and in 1998 released a politically based album called Mos Def and Talib Kweli Are Black Star. The album became a cosmic phenomenon. Star's albums created quite a buzz in the hip-hop world, but Mos Def left them behind to concentrate on acting once again. He earned roles in Bamboozled, which was directed by Spike Lee, Monster Ball, starring Halle Berry, Brown Sugar, The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, and The Woodsman, among many other movies. And for his role in The Woodsman, he earned a Black Reel Award for the best actor in an independent film. But like things happen in life, Mos Def was accused of anti-Semitism, and you know that's definitely a no-no in this society. When in 2004, he rapped that some tall Israeli was running the whole rap game, which was a reference to Israeli music executive Leonard Cohen, that he singled out, together with white men in general, corporate greed and drugs, as the main reason for the decline in hip-hop. Mos Def has been an active contributor to the recovery of the oil spill in the Gulf, performing concerts and raising money towards the repair of the damages. In June of 2010, he recorded a cover of the classic New Orleans song, It Ain't My Fault, with the Preservation Hall Jazz Band, Lenny Kravitz, and Trumbo Shorty. He is also an active contributing member of Common's Common Ground Foundation. Now, Mos Def's ideas about worlds without borders has been challenged by the South African immigration officials. Their Department of Homeland Affairs declared him an undesirable person in November of 2015 after he tried to leave the country using a world passport, which is an idealistic travel document issued by an organization promoting a world without borders. At the time, it was new, but today a lot of people use this world passport. And in his latest music endeavor is a series of international art presentations called Negus, which is not being released on any digital or analog mediums. It's an art exhibit acknowledging the importance that hip-hop is a fundamental American art form by making 8-track, 28-minute recording available without distractions of technology. In addition to Negus, the exhibit includes artworks by local and international artists. That's basically it. He's a lot of stuff. He's done a lot of things. And I would love to hear some of y'all's opinions. Enjoy.
I don't want to write this down. I want to tell you how I feel right now. I don't want to take no time to write this down. I want to tell you how I feel right now. Hey, tomorrow may never come for you or me. Life is not promised. Tomorrow may never show up for you and me. This life.
Okay, Walter, close us out because we've actually gone over time.
I want to thank everybody for tuning in to another edition of Quest Community Vibrations live on 89.5 WSOU. And our saying goes, Quest Youth Radio is the best
everybody.
Youth radio.
All right. Thank you, everyone on the line. As we continue, we sign out until next Saturday morning from 7 to 8. Peace.
You better hold this very moment very close to you
right now.
Very close
right now.
So close to you
right now.
So
shine your light for the world to see.
My homie said, shine your light.